Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 234.
Ooh, how refined.
You need some classical music playing.
Well,
in the
just you guys were mocking how I said it, so.
Sir,
how was that? Was that, was that all right?
No. Okay. Do it again.
Less robotic this time.
Take two.
No. So.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 234. It has the natural flow. Come on, Colin.
You sounded like C-3PO.
I liked it. I liked it, Colin.
Thanks, Josh. You're my only friend here. Well, Dave. Dave didn't criticize me.
Man, Dave just gets left out of everything and insulted left and right.
And then he got kicked before the podcast.
Cold.
No, I bumped his foot with moving Josh's chair so I could get up. It did. I don't think it did. I think Dave's tough.
<He's> like,
you should
contact
have to
the
be with all the abuse he gets here.
Yeah.
All the time, Bunsen blows him up. You think he?
Do you have the number for HR for Dave?
Technically, not an employee.
I mean, he's doing.
He's
his
still
podcast.
A human. He has. He needs resources.
He's still a human.
Oh, Tim's coming back. What did he do?
He's probably mad about what you said.
Could be.
So, Michael Clark, stop.
That's what he's coming in to yell at me about. Uh-oh.
Hey, Tim's joined the podcast.
It's a special guest.
But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
And Tim!
No, Tim. Tim's just driving through. Walking through. Yeah.
I think it's a bathroom break.
I think so, too.
That's okay.
You don't even give your employees bathroom breaks?
I do.
Wow.
He has to leave... Stay out of the store for 90 seconds, and when he comes back, he's an employee, or he's a customer.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim. Oh, he forgot his stuff. Okay.
That's hard.
So, Pat.
Yeah.
Got any news?
There are a few things. They announced that Jason O'Mara, who he's done the voice acting for Batman, I think... since the Flashpoint Paradox, but it might have been Justice League War. But I know, like, the last four or five animated movies, he's been Batman's voice. Mm-hmm. He's going to be on S.H.I.E.L.D. as the new head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
It's a better show than it used to be, and it's a better show than Gotham, Josh.
You know, when I started that motion, in my head, I thought you said Gotham because you were talking about Batman. And then once I started the motion, I realized that S.H.I.E.L.D., but I was already committed. So
you went with
that's
it?
That's only went, like, a short, you know, duration, but...
I wasn't judging. You know, you can be quick. It's not my problem.
Sad, Josh.
Michael Chernus, who was in the Bourne Legacy, was announced he's going to be the Tinkerer in Spider-Man Homecoming. So we're going to get the
Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
And we're going to get the Tinkerer. No, it's going to be Tinkerer and Vulture.
So they're
no
probably going into the Ultimate Realm with that because he was the guy who made... all of the outfits for everybody.
Okay.
So I bet that's where we're going with that. But he won't be the main guy. He won't be the main villain.
But there was a lot of Ultimate influence in the Avengers, too, so that's okay.
So I think they'll do that. I don't mind that, really. I mean, if they stick with the earlier stuff, I think they could have something there.
Has it been officially said yet that Michael Keaton is the Vulture?
Nope.
No.
They've officially said Michael Keaton's in it, and I think they've officially said the Vulture's in it, but not that he is playing the Vulture.
They did say he's playing a villain.
What if he's J. Jonah Jameson?
I think that would be cool. I think he could do that part, but...
Yeah, I don't know if I could picture him with a stash these days, though.
And a flat top? Yeah, that's... I mean, that's the problem, like... It's J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
You know, he was perfect, you know, anything else is going to...
It's going to be very hard seeing him as Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. I was wanting...
Oh, he got jacked for that part, though.
Which doesn't make sense to me, because Commissioner Gordon, unless you're going super heavy route, does not need to be jacked.
No, that's true.
I was thinking... I was hoping Bryan Cranston would do it, because they were talking about him earlier on.
Bryan Cranston should have been Lex Luthor.
Yeah, that, too. That was a good one, too.
Perfect casting.
That
would have worked better anyway because that kind of makes him Bruce's contemporary instead of Bruce's kid's age.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out in the Bryan Cranston's movie, I forget what it's called, it came out a few weeks ago or a month ago.
Yeah,
he looks exactly like a young Stan Lee.
Yeah, they made a poster of that.
Yeah,
where
that's what I saw.
He was playing Stan Lee, yeah.
Yeah, because he could definitely play Stan Lee in a biopic.
I looked at that, though, and I was just like, what kind of biopic would they have of Stan Lee? Like, that wouldn't be a very entertaining film, if you think about it. Like, his story is just great.
Josh
in the books.
Definitely would not go see that.
Josh would see a Stan Lee biopic?
I'd go see it.
I'd see it.
Just so he can
I'd see it.
Heckle it the whole time.
He's still alive?
Man, you suck.
Oh, Colin.
Man. First Michael Clark Duncan.
I'm fighting the urge to engage right now.
Christopher Lee, yeah.
I know.
Like, I'm fighting the urge to take the bait. I'm not going to, though.
Okay.
Weird sense of humor about death.
What?
Nothing.
My ghoul.
And the last thing I got was they released a trailer for Luke Cage, and then the show was going to premiere on September 30th.
Yeah, so Luke Cage.
We saw a few more characters in this. You first look at Misty Knight.
I didn't think I saw this one.
Yeah, I think they just...
I didn't see
it
either.
It just came out yesterday. But they showed Misty Knight. They showed Cottonmouth. They showed Claire Templeton a lot, although I don't know if she's necessarily going to be in it as much as they showed.
I have... I think this... I have no reason to believe that this is going to be bad. Like, that's the thing, because they've had such success with these on Netflix so far.
I did think...
I thought this would be a tougher character to make.
At first, on Jessica Jones, I thought he was a little bit, like, acting-wise, a little bit stiff.
Yeah.
And I thought his action scenes looked a bit too fake.
Yeah.
They
didn't use him a lot in that.
It got better
they were trying to
towards the end.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the, you know... This show, I mean, I like Mike Coulter. That's his name.
Yeah,
he's good. He was in Halo 5. I just finished that recently. He's enjoyable.
Well, check out the trailer, because one of the things they do is when they have him break out of the tank, however they make him, he has two bands and then a crown on that looks like a tiara.
Okay,
it's definitely fan service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All he was missing was the yellow shirt, but. That part was pretty cool. That's all I got, because I don't think you want to talk about the squad.
I heard that the guy, I don't remember his name, who's cast as Aquaman. What is his name?
Jason Momoa.
I heard that he is in talks to play the Crow.
Yeah.
I read that today.
No.
No?
No, I don't like that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like, no, you're wrong.
He's pretty big.
Wrong! Oh, no. I'm
he's
sorry.
Pretty big to be the Crow.
Yeah.
That was my thought, too, because, he's usually a little more lean. And
Brandon Lee was not a big guy.
No.
And then I don't know who played him after. The only one I ever saw was the first one.
You have anything to say about Brandon Lee? Before we move on.
Hey, you haven't insulted a dead guy in a while. Come on.
Within the next minute or
so. Leave Colin alone.
It's okay, Colin.
Yeah, you invite us back every week.
You don't have to like dead people. It's okay.
Yeah,
they're dead. It's not like they got feelings.
We still like you, Colin.
Thanks.
That's what he's most depressed about.
He's just like, they hate me.
Finally got rid of them.
He was wanting to do the solo version of the show in his voice from the beginning. And we ruined it.
Speaking of his solo show.
Yeah.
Nice interview.
Oh, thank you.
On Comics
Now. You watched it?
Yeah. I did watch it.
And I love how you got her to do the female voice.
Well, that was
you
easy.
Had to do it.
Well, because when I found out that she was an actress, and that was the whole reason that she wrote the book, was to pitch it as a screenplay with her in the lead.
Okay.
I'm like, well, hey.
How do you feel about playing Amanda Waller?
She was happy to do it.
So how did that interview transpire?
Like, Dave said, can I bring her?
Oh.
And I said, sure. And she had left me a copy of the book, so I read about half of it. I feel bad I didn't get through all of it, but...
You didn't have to. You could have been like, I got through all of it. It was just terrific.
No, but I knew enough about it to
ask
questions. But yeah, that was all off the cuff. There was no prepared comments.
It's good.
That's kind of the way you roll.
That is how I roll. Dave said one very funny thing.
This Dave?
No.
I never say anything.
No, Dave.
You said well, I was concerned.
Dave Cable does the TV show. Yeah. What I did,
an ironic name.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, wow.
What I did this time is I did a lot more. Normally, I like summarize the what the book's about,
mm-hmm.
yeah. and this time I was running a little late, so I was just doing a lot of cutting and pasting, and just putting the whole solicit right in. And I actually printed it out instead of being all handwritten. And so I just literally read the solicits, and he said he really liked that. He said I have a good voice for that.
I think he was hit on you.
But, so that, I mean, Hank, that was a lot easier. You know, but I could do dramatic readings of the solicits, so.
Just not dramatic readings of who you are and the name of your store.
Just, you guys were making fun of how I, you know, make sure I didn't say Pittsburgh, yeah. So I said, let's.
You did a good dramatic opening.
I was actually channeling,
Christopher Lake?
No,
Michael Gordon.
No, from Modern Family, just there was one show where they were making fun of her pronunciation, so it was the Halloween one. So she decided to speak in very proper
that's
English.
That's right.
And it was driving them nuts because that's how she was talking. And that's what I was just kind of channeling at the moment there, because as soon as I hit go, or right before I hit go, they were making fun of me, saying, oh, no, it's Pittsburgh, not Pittsburgh.
You enunciated and pretty good.
So I was making sure I enunciated.
Very clear.
My thank you.
So what is this book called, though, that you...
Greek Goddess. I need to get more in.
By who?
Eleni Romanos. And, yeah.
But yeah, it was a great interview. A lot of good questions. Check it out on the website, on the Comics Now section.
You'll find it.
It's the August episode. And while you're there, check out the past episodes. He had another good interview.
Andy Legal. Right? That one was... It just looked a little weird, because... This one was actually two cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he was doing it on Skype, so then he set up the camera to kind of watch Skype and me, and I had headphones on because you couldn't hear it, and it was just, I didn't
really
watch
good.
It, but...
No, it was still really good.
And the interview itself was really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
It just showed how into Valiant they are.
Yeah.
Like, how into their company they are.
And it's beat into them, so...
They all drank the Kool-Aid.
So only three-fifths of the crew have seen Suicide Squad, so we're going to, I guess, put off any comments about it.
I'm fine with you talking about it.
Well, I don't want to ruin it. I'd rather talk more in detail.
We usually save that to last anyway, so we can go do our books and tell them guys to get the hell out of here.
Or we could wait till Josh. You know, I'm sure everybody wants to hear what Josh has to say, and Dave.
I don't care about
what
my opinion
it.
Is. But I am going to see it this weekend.
Yeah, so we'll hold this off.
Are you going to see it, Dave, or no?
I don't know if I'm going to see it or not.
So
honestly.
You don't care.
Okay.
Okay.
So we have two liked it and one didn't like it among the three of us.
Yes, I did like it despite what I said.
So means you liked
it. I found it enjoyable.
Adam enjoyed it. I did not.
I'm not going to say it was fantastic, which I didn't.
No, I went in very, very open-minded with very low expectations. And
because it had some issues.
Just to give some general, I thought the plot was horribly lacking. Like, people say it was pedestrian. It's like, it was beyond pedestrian. It just didn't add up.
Yeah. And you're right. It didn't. There was definitely leaps in logic in there that...
And sadly, when I was sitting in the theater going, that doesn't make sense. Why are they doing that? And that, you know, I don't mind when after the fact you kind of go, wait, that didn't... Why did they do that? You know, but at the time, it was fine. And now I do give some... some of the criticism is probably blamed on me, is I went to the Distinto for $5 and the line was too long to get popcorn and I decided to bail on it and only spend the $5, so I didn't have any popcorn or anything to drink, so I had no distractions.
Generally not a fan of getting popcorn for a movie.
Okay.
My wife is.
See, I am. I'm normal. I'm a popcorn
guy. $5 though and then you get popcorn.
Right. But it's just one of those, you sit there, you're chomping, you know, life is, you know, you're having a good time, where instead I was just sitting there watching the guy in front of me play on his phone, and you know,
tell that guy to get out.
So,
would it have been better on a full stomach?
No, maybe. I'm just what I'm saying. Maybe the
experience would have been in a happier place.
Right. Maybe the whole experience wasn't.
He would have
was
been
a little lacking
so
for
much.
Me.
He would have eaten popcorn. Some things.
When
he
you
would have
left, were you hangry?
No, but I did get right. I knew James had asked me that question. I did. I stopped. It was at the Distinto, and I stopped to get gas right at that Sunoco. And I was responding to him on Twitter. So, James's question was, hang on, sorry, I don't want to paraphrase. Let's make sure I ask this.
Former podcast member James.
Yes, said, there's only one question to be answered this week. What did you think of Suicide Squad? Was it bad or extremely bad? And
that
I put
Nancy,
and I and I and my response was, I'm being guilted into seeing it tonight, 10:30 show. He said, at least after the late show, it'll be a convenient time to cry yourself to sleep. So James did not care for it. And afterwards, this was my tweet to him, was, I wanted to like it, I really did, but so much wrong plot-wise. I didn't even hate the Joker, meh, but the plot, what was that? So, that was my problem.
Mine was, I guess you consider this part of, like, plot. Some of the characters they weren't developed. You had four main characters in the movie. That they kind of gave you a little bit of backstory. The rest of the cast,
we're not
they
talking
were just
about
like,
this.
Well, I'm trying not to say anything that's spoiler to give some sort of discussion about it.
Then what's the point?
Do you want me to sit in my car and read a comic? Would that make you more comfortable?
No, that's fine.
Kind of creepy, but
I mean, I can go read All-Star Batman. It's fine.
No, we'll get the full review of it next week. You know, when you see
full Monty review?
No, I'm not taking my pants off for you guys.
Again?
Right.
Yeah.
But
first looks free, you gotta pay after that, and it's, you know.
Yeah, that was mine, and I wouldn't say it was I wouldn't say bad, I just it was okay.
Dead air.
No, I'm sorry, I was responding to the Matt had sent me a question about the Accused, and I was just answering him with the picture of Hawkeye holding the bow and arrow, and he clearly has never seen anyone hold a bow. I send you guys the picture.
He's got super special
badass way
secret
to, that's
way.
The badass way to do it, where you're not actually holding the string. Just the pure power of squeezing your fingers together.
He's practiced that a long time.
Yeah.
He has the hand turned sideways with the string and the arrow between his fingers instead of...
You wish you had that finger string.
You're right. I do, because that's something.
He's so good, he doesn't even need to use it, by the way. Normal people do.
I also liked how he had the Daredevil logo wrong.
He could probably crack walnuts with his bare hands, too.
Based on that, he absolutely could, just right between his fingers.
That is impressive.
So, since we got nothing else, no news, I really don't have any news or anything.
You got a rant?
I do not have a rant.
Well, you
no
do,
rant.
But you're not going to...
No.
Save it for next
not
week.
A rant, just I just had issues with the movie.
I didn't have any popcorn. That's what you want to say.
He's going to rant on Destina now.
It's so expensive once you get popcorn and a drink. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's cheap out to get like a small popcorn
and it's like
small drink.
Bucks.
It's like, yeah, both $5 each, really.
Well, and a small drink is not small.
No,
small drink
yeah,
is like a
yeah.
damn tub.
Yeah, and it's, you know, well, I don't need a large. Well, it's a quarter more than the meat.
So at normal price, you'd probably be paying like $20
right,
for
but
the
that's,
movie and the thing.
Well, it's only a quarter more, right, but then I might have to get up three times to pee during the show and have to pay for another ticket, so yeah. I'm not doing that.
I cannot remember the last time I have left a movie to go to the bathroom.
I had to do it during Dark Knight, the last Dark Knight. It was a case of there was just, yeah,
there's
I was going to die.
A lot of water in the movie.
Yeah, I had to leave, so I missed a little bit of that. I do remember part of my distaste of, at the end of Avengers, the reason I didn't like it was I had to pee really bad, and I was waiting for that final scene.
Which Avengers?
First Avengers. I had to pee really, really bad. And then
scene.
It was the shawarma. I'm like,
yes.
Are you kidding me? I had to
I
pee
waited
so
10
bad.
Minutes
and
I was in that situation.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like how this...
I like that scene.
I hated that scene because of that, though. I almost burst my bladder to watch them sitting and eating.
That would make a great headline.
Yeah.
Man dies while waiting for shawarma scene.
Exactly. So I really dislike them greatly because of that.
How'd you get that bladder infection? Shawarma?
Yeah, exactly. Robert Downey Jr. He gave it to me.
Wow.
So,
that's not how this works. That's not how this works.
So no rants or anything from me today.
I like this new segment.
I'm in a good mood.
Like when Colin had to pee in a movie. Like, that's a new segment of the podcast.
That is a good segment.
Next week, we'll talk about when he was in the grocery store.
As always, if you want to hear more of this, let us know by rating us on iTunes.
Let us know your favorite place.
More pee stories, please.
Did your bladder almost explode? Let us know.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, Adam. What the hell is wrong with you?
No. Yeah, Adam. Jeez. It's not funny.
It's because I don't have a good pee story.
Everybody's got a good piece. Okay.
Oh, yeah, everybody has a good piece story.
That's why it's a segment of the podcast.
I won't be telling mine in the podcast.
I have one that Sandy still mocks me for.
We are going to get another podcast.
No.
No, you already brought it up. You have to go through with it.
No.
Next, you'll
I'll
get questions.
I'll say with mine. Mine involves a Permanis, a T-stop, and a snowstorm. Hmm. That's it. That's all you get.
Mine involves a bachelor party and a parking garage.
Mine was second grade.
Pat Laurie.
A robot? And
it wasn't Phil.
And
a robot,
Santa?
A cheesesteak.
And a Santa.
No, actually,
and a flyer.
No, it was in Fairmount Park in Philly, and my brother.
That sounds weird. That when you added that part.
Okay.
Maybe he got stung by a jellyfish.
Could be.
I saw Friends. That works.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you see what yours was?
Which I can. His was last night.
Mine was at the Lincoln Memorial.
You peed on Lincoln?
No, I...
You goddamn communist? What the hell is wrong with you?
When I was a kid,
he was like, "Look, Lincoln's
we went
peeing.
On vacation to Washington, D.C. I was told to go there before I left, and I didn't, and I never heard the end of it for a long time.
Well, yeah, you're not supposed to pee on Lincoln.
Oh, he's got a bathroom in there.
Just because he's shitting doesn't mean it's a toilet.
Because he can go whenever he wants. I mean, he's always on the toilet.
Good story.
Yeah. God. See, we all joined in, Colin.
There you go.
You
thank
you.
I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Worst episode ever.
So who read something they want to talk about?
Titled the pee episode.
No. No. They don't all have to be titled, and they definitely won't be titled that.
It's your fault we have to call them.
Is Josh starting? Josh seems to be the only one interested.
I can go first. I can do that.
Okay, so in the... No.
In the pee?
Do you have another story?
Well, Aquaman, any of you guys read that? So, I really don't like the art in this book.
Yeah, and
especially the face and the people. The environments, I think, are fine.
But it also depends. When it's kind of close-up Aquaman... It's okay.
Aquaman
far
looks
away,
like
it's really weird.
Aquaman looks like he's about 5 to 10 years younger than Mera.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah,
like he does not.
He almost like teenager.
Yeah,
but what I notice is the further essentially if it's a camera, the further away you get from the camera,
mm-hmm.
the worse the art gets, and then the more close up I think.
Now I do like the other artist better. Brad Walker, I believe, is on the odd number issues. I think that's been better than the evens, but yeah, I've not been a huge fan of the art in Aquaman. That being said, I do like the story, the political twist. I didn't like how this one turned out so much. Like, I didn't like that he was just on the cusp of, getting through to them, and then suddenly, someone does exactly what...
That was the thing. I didn't take it as he was on the cusp
I
of
felt,
getting
I
through.
I felt like he was, like... When he was talking about letting him go to help, I felt like the way it was going is that they were playing up is that he was about to make headway, and then she came bursting in and ruined everything. It just seemed like this book was filled with, you're about to do something good, and then something, bad happens and sets you back. Like when they were going to explore
those
rooms.
Well, yeah, even when they were going to check it out, and it was like, oh,
yeah,
we're the U.S. military, stand
like,
down.
Oh, there's this ceremonial sword. A soldier would have used this, someone planned this here, and then as Merc's holding the sword, all of a sudden the military's like, oh, what are you doing there, holding that sword there?
And it was like, there was no one there, and then all of a sudden, they were all there.
Yeah.
That didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and they even said like, oh, they're going to be here in a few minutes, and so it's like, the Atlanteans, who live underwater, didn't tell that these hundreds of troops,
yeah, they couldn't tell
them.
All that was going on.
But, so those kind of minor things,
I didn't care for. The stuff with Mera, I thought, was good.
It was good up until that end. I didn't like her bursting in.
Well, the discussion she had with the White House chief of staff and how, you know, we're trying to help. Oh, don't play coy with me. Yeah. You know, that I thought was
good.
But
I do like this, you know, political tint to the book. I think it's kind of interesting. It's different than the, you know, standard, we have to save the world or something horrific is happening. Like I like this approach where it's, you know, trying to bridge the divide between Atlantis and the land. But I'm still fully on board. I just, man, the art's tough for me. Batman number 4. I am
Gotham.
I liked
it a lot.
Part 4. I liked it a lot too. Mm-hmm. Bit of a time jump. Some people, like other reviews I read, weren't a big fan of that, you know, jump in time a bit. But I kind of liked it. It kind of made things a bit more exciting to me, like to see that open up, to see what was happening. And then immediately I'm like, what the hell is going on? I want to read more now and figure out what.
Yeah, that didn't bother me at all.
No.
It kind of just started off a little bit at the end, or I guess it started with kind of the end, mm-hmm. around the end, and then worked its way to that point. I don't know. Maybe I've seen enough Tarantino movies that doesn't bother
yeah,
me.
Yeah, the time jump makes sense. Okay, so I do have a question, and I may have missed this. The girl that was with Duke, that's Gotham Girl.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, because after Batman found her, he took her in.
That's what
recover.
I thought, but I don't ever remember them referring to her. And I'm like, that
yeah,
has
I
to
was
be
just going
her.
With it
but I think in the,
but I'm
in
assuming
that, like,
it had to be
in that
her.
Bed where she was recovering. I think she was still wearing the outfit. Like, she was wearing the skirt and everything.
Was she?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't notice that. Yeah. I noticed something strange in Green Arrow, but I didn't notice that. So.
It's been strange in Green Arrow.
Yeah. When we get to Green Arrow, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we can go there next.
Okay.
Did you notice strange?
Okay.
Let me say first, I really like this book a lot, Green Arrow.
Yeah.
I do too.
Oh. Okay. We're off Batman already?
No, I don't care.
No.
Because he mentioned
Green Arrow. We can go to Green Arrow. I got caught up on all issues of Green Arrow, too.
What
did you
say about Batman?
Nothing.
No, I want to hear your
opinion. No. I thought it was really good. I liked the little twist at the end.
I like why they were affected, because of Psycho Pirate.
Right. And the fact, I like the Waller stuff very much. I thought that was very interesting to add her into this.
I liked adding her into it. I didn't like her essentially saying, like, referencing everything back to Zero Year and saying we had to send these, you know, people in to kind of stop you. It's like, okay, he's been operating for years at this point, and he's clearly shown that he is doing good, so why would you be sending in Batman villains?
Well, no, but the only thing I see about that is, you know, Colonel Kane referenced Zero Year in Detective 2 weeks ago, and I think it's, you know, just their way of saying, because if you're not reading Detective and you're only reading Batman, hey, what happened before in Snyder's run, that's still good. That still counts.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be why they did it. But, you know, if you're reading both, it's like, I've already got that. I already know.
Yeah, it just seemed odd to me. Like, he's been operating for all these years, and now suddenly you're going to say, oh, because of Zero Year and a Court of Owls, and where you decided to send Hugo Strange and Psycho Pirate.
But I just, like, again, it blew up in her face, and then she's blaming him.
Yeah.
I also truly love the part where he's like, oh, you know, Batman could never get in here. We're all these guards, and she just goes, he's behind
me. I just like that.
I enjoyed that greatly.
I'm wondering if they're going to factor in, like, Hugo Strange, the Monster Men book.
Right, I think that's leading right into the, because there's the miniseries coming, or not mini, but the crossover.
And that crossover is being co-written by Steve Orlando, I think, on all six issues.
It's tying in the three books, right?
Three books, two issues for each book.
That's just a month.
I'm pretty sure it's the main writer in the book, plus Steve Orlando is.
It kind of shows that the arc for Detective is going to come at some point to a conclusion before this, so I thought that was, they gave
or
us
all
kind
this,
of a time
or all these arcs lead into
merge.
Or yeah, I
this,
guess that could be the case too.
It does feel a bit soon for a crossover,
especially for Nightwing.
Well, but Court of Owls or the Night of the Owls was Batman
number
4.
Nine.
No, it was 4.
Was it? I thought it was the 9.
4 was the first one, because that's the one I'm missing.
But I think when it crossed over into the other books, I could have sworn
that was Night
the,
of the Owls.
That was but it started.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a crossover until 9, where it was just that one issue, Night of the Owls.
Okay, see, I thought it was everything.
No, not yet.
No,
I thought it was 4, 5, 6.
It just showed the crossover was just that showing what each character was doing that one night when the owls
fell. The crossover itself was called Night of the Owls.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no,
but you're right. That's when they showed
it. I've been really enjoying King's writing on this, and I've surprisingly liked both sets of artists on here. I was worried I wouldn't like Finch, but he's been good.
Yeah, he has.
Okay, so Green Arrow.
Yeah.
So, I really like the book. I love Juan Ferreira's art. I thought it was fantastic in this issue. But you said you noticed something strange?
Yeah. So, when him and Dig went to Henry Fife's apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Henry Fife's laying in bed. He had a Dexter stuffed animal with him.
Okay.
In bed. And at first I'm like, no, that can't be what it is, and then in the next panel you actually see it's wearing the Red Lantern costume. I mean,
what's strange about that, Pat?
Wouldn't that be a little on the nose? In universe, he has a supervillain stuffed animal.
Maybe it's the real Dexter that was sitting there.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, Dexter is on Earth if you read Green Lantern, so yeah, I guess that's possible.
Maybe it wasn't a stuffed.
Although I would think he.
Except the Legends.
You're
probably
right. There probably wouldn't be a Dexter toy in the universe, but I mean, there are toys for other characters in the universe, like we've seen with action figures.
Right, but not with villains. And certainly, you know, not even like a, you know, it's not Lex Luthor. It's, you know, a minor.
Can you think of a more badass cat?
No, not
I can't. Maybe Garfield?
If you were closer, I'd slap you.
Yeah. Come on, Garfield is pretty badass.
Garfield's pretty stupid.
You know what Garfield likes?
Lasagna.
And he hates Mondays.
And normal.
Yeah.
But you know what? Everybody hates
I've been soured to Garfield because Adele likes the new Garfield cartoon.
Oh, that's awful.
And it's god-awful.
It's not like the old one.
No.
They had U.S. Acres.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, that's the Garfield I'm talking
about. I was a Heathcliff fan.
Well,
yeah, I remember that too, yeah.
Marmaduke?
No.
Oh, Colin, nobody wants Marmaduke.
But yeah, Green Arrow has, issue to issue, been one of my top Rebirth books.
Mm-hmm.
The quality's not dipped at all. Both artists, Juan Ferreira, Otto Schmidt, are both fantastic on this, and Ben Percy's telling a really engaging story and bringing it. You know, ties to a lot of the good stuff from previous runs, like how he's tying back to Shadow and Emiko and other aspects of the Jeff Lemire
Now,
run.
What was the deal between him and Dig?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't mind that. It's something maybe they'll explain
later.
No,
that's
fine,
but I didn't know if that was
something know what
from
caused,
the old...
I don't recall what caused the fallout, because I jumped on with Jeff Lemire's run, and at that point, I think he had already kind of fallen out with different... characters he was with.
Okay.
And then I jumped off again and jumped back on whenever Ben Percy got on because I've read Jeff Lemire's run in trades. I wasn't buying it in single issues until Ben Percy came on.
Okay.
I jumped on them because he wrote that 2-issue Batman story arc, the Terminal One.
The Terminal One, yeah, okay.
So which was enough to get me intrigued to jump in after DCU.
Okay.
See, I'm not sure what happened there, but yeah, Colin's right, it has been pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I like how Ollie's like, I'm sorry, you know, not denying it or anything, just, can we get past this? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it sounds
happened.
Like whatever it is, it was pretty serious, and that's why I didn't know if maybe it was something that was handled in the previous Percy run or not.
In the Percy run, I don't think so. Okay. I think it was before the Percy run. I don't recall Diggle being mentioned at all during the Percy run. I know he was in the whole run at some point, yeah, but...
Yeah.
I don't know if he was in Lemire's run either.
I thought he was.
Because Lemire's run focused mostly on the, was it the Outsiders?
Who did it? Who was writing it before Lemire then? He was in there. Because I remember I read it and I read
it. Was bad. Was it Juergens or somebody?
No, it wasn't Juergens. Ann Nesente was on for a while.
That's the other problem. I think it went through like 5 writers during.
A bunch of writers.
But they brought Dig in before they brought Felicity in. And I remember when they brought them both in, but I don't ever remember the falling
out. They brought Felicity in? I don't recall seeing Felicity at all.
Felicity was in.
Okay. I remember there was some other girl, and then Henry, but
no, they specific yeah, the her too. But at one point they, you know, they specifically, you know, I'm Felicity Smoke, and you know, of course she's behind a computer and all that. But yeah.
But no, it's good. It's great. Which one should we talk about next? Well, you mentioned Green Lantern, so we'll talk about Green Lanterns next. Not loving it,
no,
Pat. I'm not loving this,
not
this book so far.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm kind of tired of the whole, you know, oh, we're mismatched partners. We don't get along. You don't know what you're doing. I do.
And, you know,
there's a good story to be told here.
It wasn't even though that I know what I'm doing and you don't. It's you got one, you know, overconfident but really isn't, and the other one is afraid of her own shadow, and
yeah.
I can't do any constructs, and I can't do this, and I
issues in plus a rebirth issue.
Do something.
We get it.
Yeah.
We get that they're a mismatched pair. We get that she has issues, he has issues. Move on.
Yeah.
And I like the Red Lanterns as a threat, but I feel like
but even
this
there,
book,
they haven't been there. That, you know, you get a page, oh, well, here's, you know.
I feel like this book would be better served if it was something smaller, and you get to see them more just developing their skills instead of suddenly being thrust up against this, you know, hell tower.
That's a big threat for the first time out. Like, let them establish themselves first.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I feel like Sam Humphries is going a bit too, you know, far. Like, slow it down. Tell a more focused, you know, personal story with these characters, and quit beating over our heads that they, you know, don't work together.
The other thing I'm not a fan of is how Simon Baz has these powers that no one else has. I mean, it was already established that blue can remove red, green can't, so why is he able to?
It almost feels like they're overcompensating for the fact that they just forgot about Simon Baz, essentially, for 2 years, year and a half.
No, I'd agree. Yeah.
But yeah, I really want this book to be good.
But it's really
want to keep reading this book. I like the concept of it, but I feel like if it were some other book, I would have dropped it by this point. Because I'm just not really enjoying it a whole lot, unfortunately. Yeah. Did any of you guys read the Harley Quinn relaunch last week?
I did.
That book was bad.
Yeah.
Let me say this. If you were enjoying the previous Harley Quinn run, I'm sure you'd enjoy this too.
I think so too, because there was so much that was.
As
I
someone who jumped
it,
off the Harley Quinn run,
so
like halfway through before, or maybe a third
when
way through.
When the gang of Harleys appeared,
that's
when
I
jumped
off.
Off.
And I hadn't been enjoying it for a while up to that
same
point.
Same thing.
And this book, like, when it first open up into the stuff with her and Poison Ivy, that stuff was fine.
It was really good, yeah.
But then when it went into this super dense recap of everything that has been going on with Harley Quinn, and then all these characters, and you have Red Tool there, and this super, like, overly sexualized hot talk section, I'm like, this book is not for me. It feels like a chore reading this.
Yes.
Parts of it feel awkward.
Like, why did they give this one a new number one, because it seems like they were wanting to keep their old audience anyways, so they might as well continue the book and kept them.
And the book was doing well, I thought, before, so why not just let that one keep going? It's the exact same creative team, all three of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Harden,
no
Mana Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti.
Except it seemed like they were wanting to bring in a new audience by recapping it, but it was just boring.
Like I said, I'm sure if you like...
Yeah.
If you're a huge Deadpool person, oh, you're a big Deadpool person, Pat. You don't.
That's not. You know, Deadpool was essentially the same crap. I got 5 pages through Deadpool today.
Yeah.
And said, I'm
so
done.
if you're still a huge Deadpool person, or you're a big Harley Quinn fan of the last series, then definitely check it out. The art looks good in it. I'll give Chad Harden that.
Yeah.
But the art was good, but
that
story
spastic.
It was just
tough. All over the place.
It was tough, and I felt the humor was almost awkward. Like, it was too much over the top, too in your face.
The other thing I found with it is, so even when they did, like, Red Hood and the Outlaws, the Rebirth issue, it redid Jason Todd's origin, but it gave you some additional story and kind of got the ball rolling. I don't feel like this did that. And that was the problem. Like, that's what it should have been doing is, okay, we're going to reintroduce you to the character in case you're new, but if you're not new, you get something new, and it kind of puts everybody on the same path.
Mm-hmm.
This just it forgot to do that, or they ran out of pages to do that almost. Mm-hmm. You know, and I get the fact that book now has such a large cast. You know, you want to introduce everybody, but everybody doesn't have to be in the first book. I mean, Red Hood and the Outlaws is a prime example where it focused strictly on Jason Todd. Bizarro and Artemis never showed up in that book, and it was okay.
I didn't read that book because I don't like Scott Lobdell, but I've been hearing that Rebirth issue and number one have been good. So.
You know what? The
number one
issue
came out today, so I haven't read that yet, but I like
it. But the reviews
Rebirth
I read so far said it was good.
The first issue of Red Hood and the Outlaws, number one from New 52, it did really well, too. But then I thought that book kind of...
I didn't question whether it would do well. I just didn't... I just questioned how his writing would be.
And, I'm not a big fan of his.
Neither
I really am not.
But I did
not like his Teen Titans around New 52.
Mm-hmm. But the other difference here versus the New 52 is I don't think they're going to whore out Artemis the way they did Starfire.
They really did in that too.
And that's, I think that's a big change to the book. And Bizarro, I don't see him and Bizarro having the bro-ship that him and Speedy had. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to work.
It's a cool concept. I do like this inverted trinity kind of idea. But, it just wasn't... With all the books I've been picking up, it was one I was easily able to say, I'll pass on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm kind of curious after hearing more and more people talk about it.
Yeah, and I'll let you... certainly next week when we do our reviews, I'll let you know what I think of number one, but...
Cool. Batman Beyond, number 15. Adam, you still reading that?
I've gotten behind on that one.
Yeah or no? Which one?
you did say both.
I got behind on it.
So this, I think, is the penultimate issue of this series. I think next issue wraps up. It's definitely leading towards the Batman Beyond Rebirth launch where Terry McGinnis is back in the cowl.
Okay.
So... We found out that an amnesiac Terry McGinnis is wearing the Rewire costume and thinks that he has to wear the costume to survive. He's being manipulated by Spellbinder, and they capture Commissioner Barbara Gordon, and this is where finally she finds out, and Tim Drake finds out that Terry's still alive. They capture her. It looks like they're trying to get to Tim Drake and trying to get to the suit. And Spellbinder is trying to convince Terry McGinnis that, the suit is what, can keep him alive. So he needs that bat suit, and he's willing to kill Tim Drake to get it. Which leads me to wonder, we heard all these rumors about SDCC. Someone drunkenly said Tim Drake's going to die. We do have two versions of Tim Drake right now, and Terry McGinnis is coming back as Batman Beyond.
It would only make sense if that
So
one,
I wonder
the
if
the future version... That's a cop-out if that's the version they kill.
But DC never came out
and
said we're going to do this. It's just some drunk writer who might be trolling Bleeding Cool. And if that's the case, if this writer was trolling Bleeding Cool that way, then...
Yeah. Really.
Okay, yeah.
Because it would make sense. Because otherwise, what are you going to do with the future Tim Drake? If he just turns the suit back over to Terry McGinnis?
That future never happened.
So.
It would make sense if they got rid of him.
They go back to the future and get the sports almanac before Brother Eye is able to...
Good point. But no, this issue is really good. I love the art in this issue. It had a very... I don't know if I say cartoony, but it definitely felt much more animated, especially the way the colors popped. But it was great. I'm very excited to see where things go in that last issue. Moon Knight number 5.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
It was good. It was good, man. The cast of artists they got for that issue was fantastic, especially Frank Avila.
Mm-hmm. It's just trippy how they're doing this, though. It's like it's almost like Inception, where it's a dream inside something else.
I feel like they're putting on a masterclass in how to keep your reader constantly guessing.
Yes,
right now, and it's not just Jeff Lemire. Like Greg Smallwood's art's been fantastic, and as much credit goes to Jordi Belair for the coloring too, because it has the same feel that this book has had from the relaunch from the past series. Just the way his character is depicted with mm-hmm. the lack of colors at all.
Mr. Knight.
This has been fantastic. Still have no idea what the hell is going on or what to believe.
Right, and then in the end he wakes up and he's back to Steven, the Hollywood producer.
Yeah, and you see him like looking out across the desert and it reflecting the mirror with a tear rolling down his cheek.
Yeah, it's...
And then if you read, like I read the very beginning of the letters page, it says that things are just starting to get messed up. Like they're really going to start going down the rabbit hole and, you know, make things even trippier with this book. So it's been great.
It absolutely has. And you're right. It keeps you guessing on every page. Like mm-hmm. what's real, what isn't. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't get tricked that often, but
I know, but yeah, every time you think you know what's happening here, it kind of twists things again. But no, it was really, really great, cool idea to have different artists depict each of his personalities as he was, you know, going through that, the whole thing. And you guys read Tokyo Ghost?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this, I think, also is the penultimate issue. I think it wraps up at issue 10. It's good, but I'm getting kind of tired of seeing the recap of Led and Debbie's relationship.
Yeah, it's going on a little too long.
Like every issue, they have at least one page, if not more, showing, you know, this doomed relationship and talking about in depth, you know, how things started and how things fell. And it's just like, yeah, we get it. We've been reading for 9 issues now. Like we understand what happened here.
I agree. They've been going into that for the last, 4 issues probably, then in the beginning.
Since they first showed it. I guess, the midway point, around issue 5.
But
otherwise, it was good.
I think...
I loved when Davey outlined his plan, and you had, like, Hitler and other, you know, super evil powers.
Well, at first you're trying to figure out why they're all there, and then why they're all riding around in...
But when you have like Hitler and Mussolini and Genghis Khan being like, "Oh, that might be going too far. Oh, that might be over the line."
And Osama bin Laden.
Yeah,
yeah. And what he was driving around in.
I'll have to look.
His go-kart was a plane.
I didn't notice that.
And there were some little bit. It's like maybe that was too far, but
yeah. But essentially, Davy Trauma, who now is. Free because Flack was killed, and he's very bored, and he wants to initiate this plan where he's going to essentially jump into the body of everyone that has like the tech in them, which is
everyone
except for Debbie.
Yeah.
Take over them and force them all to commit suicide, and at the same time download their conscience to the online world where he can essentially be the
ruler.
Which
is what he was in when he was riding around in the go-kart stuff into like Hitler and...
Yeah, and make it his own, you know, kingdom.
Yeah.
So that's what his plan was. But even then, he's still kind of bored with the idea of the plan until Debbie shows up to kind of put a stop to him in his new Tokyo city that Flack, you know, imagined. And he gets very excited about the whole concept of a boss fight. It's very video gamey, but... It's good. The book was gorgeous, but yeah, just, you know.
Some of the people coming in for the party, like, the ones that, I don't want to mention names of it on the podcast, but just one's a serial killer. Mm-hmm. The other one is, like, a hipster band.
the porn stars.
Yes, and their names. But,
I can't say any of them on the podcast.
Not even on there. But it's a good book. It really is. It just, I agree.
Rick Remender does sci-fi stories really, really well.
Yeah. There was a preview in the book, and I can't remember for his next book, and I can't remember.
Oh, what it was, Seven to Eternity, I think it's called.
That was it. And it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Anything else I want to mention? I'm going to save the Valiant one for you, Adam, since you're the one that got the writer here in the first place. All right, I think I'm good. Dave?
New series from Aftershock, Animosity, number one.
This is about what would happen if all the animals in the world woke up and started talking and thinking.
So it's Autumn Land.
No. This was good. I had one problem with it. So.
Well, you just kind of ruined it.
Yeah, Dave was looking at you like, all right, what was your problem?
My one problem was there's a scene where there's... Like, most of the animals are kind of turning on people, but there's this one dog that loves its girl owner that's helping him. And all of a sudden, these birds crash through the window. And his answer was, to the roof. So they all go up onto the roof.
Yeah.
And then they're
the
being totally attacked.
To
And it just, I'm like, why would you go to the roof? Go to, into an interior room where they couldn't get in. It just seemed, it was a really bad decision. And then she ends up falling off the roof.
She falls off
and
the
he
roof
jumps after her to help her.
And then there's a tiger.
Dog fly?
No.
And
then they
pose a problem.
Yeah, well, they ended up going through a window into another building. But it just, the going up to the roof, I'm like, why? Why would you have done that? But other than that, it was interesting.
Smart. I mean,
fair enough.
And that was one of his words before it was rude.
I liked it. I just don't want it. It's going to be a fine line to walk as the series progresses because I don't want it to get too cute. Because at the beginning,
what do you have against cute?
Well, maybe that's the wrong word.
I'm just against busting your stones, Dave.
But at the beginning, you know, they have...
It's like, I have a big problem.
There's all these panels of animals, you know, talking to each other. And there's these two birds. And, like, one of them says to the other one, stop pressuring me to have children.
Yeah, it was a little wacky.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they'll have to get I don't know what kind of tone it's going to take. If it's going to be like that or a little bit more serious. I mean, it can't be too serious with talking animals, but it was a quick read. I did like it, though. Next one was really good. Kill or Be Killed.
Yeah, that was good.
Number one.
I blew through that one, and I ordered it a little bit higher than I had been selling of Fade Out. So I figured it would be similar market. It's Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips. Man, that blew out on Wednesday.
Really? Wow. It deserved it. It was really good. It's about this kid, Dylan, who's having a tough time in his life. His best friend, roommate, is dating the girl he loves. And when his roommate, you know, leaves, the girl makes out with Dylan, which he learns she did it just because she feels sorry for him.
And we've all been there.
And we have all been
there. Pity sex is still sex.
So he decides to jump off a building and kill himself, but he doesn't end up killing himself because he can't even do that right because he gets caught in the laundry lines and you know falls to the ground.
That night,
this demon.
What a maroon!
He is a maroon. So that night, this demon appears in front of him and tells him he has to make a payment for this life, for the life he tried to take, and he has to kill somebody who deserves to. He deserves to be killed. Every month, or he'll die, you know, at the end of the month.
Does he get to pick, or does the demon pick?
He gets to pick.
Oh, okay.
Because he doesn't know what to do, so it's
the girl.
That's going to be part of the story, because he has, it's like, well, 3 days, you know, before the end of the month, he starts getting sick. And he's like, oh, man, this might be real. And he sees the demon in a mirror again. And that's the whole thing. Who, you know, he has to choose who's gonna kill. And how does he make that decision? Pretty incredible plot line there, I thought.
Can he, like, go to a hospital, people, and, like, intensive care, pull the plug, and that counts? I mean, you know, they're going to die anyway. I guess that's kind of cheap, but, you know.
I don't know if that's... Yeah, that might be not what the demon had in mind, but,
You can't trust a demon anyway, so if you can get over and put one over on a demon, why not?
I know. But but it was really good. Did you like that, Colin? Or you?
Yeah, no, I liked it. I thought it was really good, and I want to know where it's going. Yeah, because all of a sudden this kid who's not a killer has to kill him.
Yeah.
And because it was interesting. He's like, this is not how I always was.
Yeah.
Could you kill? If my life was on dependent, probably. Or if my family was threatened, yeah. Somebody Maggie? Threatened Maggie? Oh, yeah.
But that
Without hesitation.
Who would you be more likely to kill for? Maggie or Katie?
we've asked this question before.
Both.
Oh, that initial face spoke volumes.
You did think about it for a little while.
No, I didn't.
Should have been clearly was Katie. Yeah. What if it was Katie who was after? Who was after Maggie?
That's a saw question.
Yeah.
No.
Just remember,
you have the reverse bear trap on. You only get like 30 seconds.
Maggie won't be able to take care of you one day.
Reverse it. What if it was Katie Maggie going after Katie?
Oh, you're going to give him nightmares. Don't make him think about this.
I'm just trying to make sure he has the decision figured out before it happens.
What else you read, Dave?
He's interested, we'll too.
Paper Girls, number 8. This had an awesome cliffhanger, which I'm going to give away. So fast forward a minute or two if you don't want to hear it. But
this is why we need sound effects.
They're in 2016. In 2016, there's an Aaron from 1988. There's an Aaron from 2016. And there's also an Aaron from the future who says she's kind of like Aaron, but not exactly, but close enough. Whatever that means.
Wasn't this a Star Trek The Next Generation episode?
And they are...
Yeah, they were all on a Nexus. Is the last
the
episode.
Different Enterprise, yeah.
Yeah.
All good things.
Yeah.
All good things. And so 1988 Aaron, 2016 Aaron, are in this old closed-down shopping mall looking for a clue.
Parkway Center?
At Parkway Center Mall, yeah, may have well been. they see the 1988 Aaron sees this field hockey stick hanging in midair. And they grab a ladder and she grabs it and she's like pulling it, you know, more, it's like in another dimension or something, because she's pulling it and you see more of the field hockey stick come out. And on the field hockey stick is scrawled, "Don't trust other Aaron." With 3 exclamation marks.
But there's 3, so which other Aaron is
there? Yeah, can they be more specific?
I know, because the Aaron from the future rescues the other 2 girls from... There's these tanagrades, which are like real, like micro animals in your body. They're like segmented, ugly things.
So what if the Aaron that gets... The hockey stick is the one
that
no
they
one
can't trust. I was thinking that too.
I know. The Aaron from the future saves these 2 other girls, and she tells them, you know, she's going to take them 68,000 years in the future. That's the only place they'll be safe.
Because they gave it to the wrong Aaron.
Yeah, so.
Oh, man.
So it's
and
real.
The reason they can't trust him is because he doesn't feel like he can trust them. Because of the hockey stick.
That was a patented Brian K. Vaughan ending. It was really good. Cliffhanger.
What book was this?
Paper Girls.
Okay, I wanted to get that book. I don't want to get that.
Next, the Jughead, number 8.
Yes.
Adam.
I read it.
What's it beeping outside?
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, I think this series, this could be mostly like... This is the most like the old. It could just be like an old Archie story,
yes,
you know.
Very much so. I've liked it since the.
But
change,
I've liked
though.
It. And I've liked it. And there's some good stuff in it. This continues the last issue. There, Jughead and Archie are lost in the woods, and this bear is about to attack them. And then Mr. Weatherby shows up.
Yeah, and he tells the bear, he just like does something with the stick he's holding.
Yeah,
and it leaves
because it ended up being like a circus bear.
Yeah.
That he heard about, because I like the line that Jughead said, he even has dominion over the bears.
Yes. As they're heading back, they keep running into issues. Like, he was looking for signs, and the signs were missing. And then Jughead saw that there were square posts, so it must be where the signs were. And then they almost, like, they... Archie falls into, like, a trap.
Yeah.
Hole. And then they almost get hit by, like, a beehive. That's a trap. And then on the beehive, it's just... What does it say? It says beehive. That's all it said on it.
No, it had some nickname for Mr. Weatherby's name.
Was it?
I think so.
I thought it only said beehive because they made they made that whole thing about like who would label a beehive with the name beehive? Okay. That's like labeling, you know. But he starts to figure out who it is when they tell him that there's a Mantle family reunion.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the past where when he was in high school, he had a bully who was Ted Mantle.
Ted Mantle.
And
did they say how he's related to to Reggie?
Never really, no.
Because it's not his dad.
No. And they've introduced his dad into Archie. He's been in the Archie book.
Yeah, no, he's the
he's the one that's supporting Lodge. Yeah, he's the editor of the newspaper. Yeah. But yeah, they're able to, you know, and Mr. Weatherby tells him Ted says, "Oh, I'm not breaking any laws or anything." He's just like, "Actually, you are." He's like, "This is this and that," and he's just like, "Oh." And then he like takes him back to camp, and they all go back.
Something seemed off about the name of you.
It was I've liked this book since the change. The artist changed for one because I'm just not a big fan of Erica Henderson. And then
right,
you like Squirrel Girl though?
No, I do not. And that's the whole problem with the book. They all looked like her. Looked like Squirrel Girl.
I read. Something the girl that played in Stranger Things.
Yeah, the one that played Barb.
Wants to be Squirrel Girl.
Yes.
She would work. Yeah.
But I like how all these people think there's going to be like a Squirrel Girl movie, which there might be, but I love how all these actors are all of a sudden coming out and demanding
Anna Kendrick
movies that they made of this character, but I have to play it. I'd like the change, though. We're getting a new writer
in the next issue,
so I can live with that. I do like the direction this writer switched. I didn't like that whole... I didn't like the previous arc where it was just every issue he had a daydream, and it was just getting old after a while.
Yeah, it's probably better without the...
Yeah. I like this one having a good story to it and what they were doing, and him and Archie. And
it's nice to get a break from the... From the love triangle.
Yeah, I didn't get to read the backup though, if it even had one.
I read the backup. I can't.
And I really do like the backups that they put. They put classic issues in there, but they always have a reason why it always matches up with it, or they explain it at the beginning why they chose this one. Yeah, I just think it's something kind of cool to put in.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, they've been doing that in all the.
So all of these Archie books, though, I've really liked. You know, and I especially like Betty and Veronica. I thought that was
fantastic. It was really, really good. I think, like I said, it was the best, might be the best of the bunch.
And it looked so good. Like, it looked, the art was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Years. Yeah. I hope we can keep that up. Okay, and I'll mention the last one. I read the first issue of Battlestar Galactica. From new series from Dynamite. This is based on the original television series.
Dirk Benedict, yeah.
This is Dirk Benedict and Lauren Green, and that is it Muffet, that weird.
Mm-hmm.
The
weird orange.
The actual robot bear. Cylons.
Yeah, in the robot Cylons. Yeah, so I don't know, because it's really tied into that continuity, because there's like two separate occasions in the book where it says the footnotes, you know, as happened in the episode He and the God or something, and I'm like, oh man, I don't remember that stuff at all. I was like 10 years old if I saw that.
Say, you don't remember a show from back in the
always interrupting Dave.
I have all the sounds turned off my phone. I wasn't thinking my iPad is not set up the same way.
I thought it was mine for a second. That's why I picked that up. I was like, I didn't do anything, but what's happening?
Anyhow.
Dave, I'm
before
very,
I was
very
interrupted
sorry.
By
I'm very, very
by
sorry.
Josh trying to catch them all.
Well, I'm sitting there like, oh, wait, Colin stores a Pokestop. I should check this.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the Galactica.
I thought that as Dave was talking.
The Galactica goes through a black hole, and it's a bumpy ride, and Commander Adama is gravely injured as they go through the black hole. And some Cylons are following them, and they go to this. There's this planet with all these junk wreckage of starships, like in a circle, like Saturn's rings around the planet, and some Cylons follow them through, and at the end the Cylons are attacked by other Cylons.
What?
I know, that's exactly what my reaction was.
The final five. Oh, you didn't watch their okay.
Didn't watch the show. Sorry.
Never mind.
Okay.
The remake show.
Okay.
There were Salamence attacking. Never mind.
Okay.
Go ahead. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to go play in traffic now.
It's not too bad out.
He's an expert at playing in traffic.
Oh.
So we'll see how it goes. It was written by our favorite Colin Bunn.
Of course it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's down to like 60 or 70 books a month. He had to pick a couple up. Spare minutes.
Art was kind of scratchy, but it was okay. So we'll see where that goes. That's all I got.
Okay.
Pat?
Sheriff of Babylon. So... This book just continues to be really, really good, really intriguing. What we find out is in the first issue, Chris, one of his trainees is killed. And then we find out that this trainee in this issue was working for NCIS the whole time, and they kind of set up this op. It went bad.
Like Mark Harmon?
No. No Mark Harmon. No goth girl. No nothing. And then we also find out that NCIS were the ones responsible for killing Nasir's wife, which I thought it was CIA the whole time, but it wasn't. So... they set up this operation to get the guy that they think is the head terrorist, and he wants to meet Sophia, who is I guess she's like a councilwoman or something like that. So he shows up alone, and at first they're like, well, this can't be him, he wouldn't show up alone, but he has a vest on. He takes the vest off and he has a suicide vest, and they go, yeah, that's him. And that's where it ends. But there's a lot of... Chris, who was the main character, when he finds out that the guy that ran the op, the guy that's trained, he killed and got Nasir's wife killed, he reaches for his gun because he's getting ready to get this guy. So there's a lot of tension in that room. It's just been a really good, very different... realistic, real, type of story. I think it has two left or three left.
I was going to ask if this is a limited series or...
It is. I don't remember whether it's 10 issues or 12 issues.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it's been really good. I think the first trade's out, though.
Yeah, first trade's out.
Yeah. So, if you're interested, I'd recommend it highly.
I think I might try that sometime.
Next one, Walking Dead. behind. You're behind?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, so after last issue, Negan returns with his trophy back to the camp, or back to Alexandria, and, you know, Rick quickly realizes now that war is inevitable and they need to make preparations and start a war plan. So while doing this, the deal now is Negan is not going to go back to the cell, but he's going to be watched by Dwight, and, you know, if Dwight was given strict orders, if he steps one toe out of line, shoot him. So it's very different. Part of the plan is they're asking for soldiers, if you will, from the other groups, and there's a lot of problems in the kingdom after Ezekiel was killed. There's a lot of tension. They feel like Alexandria didn't help them in their time of need, so they don't want to help Rick now. So you're starting to see that. It's been pretty good. And then at the end, the herd, there's a giant herd that shows up, and presumably that's the Whisperers with their herd, because they walk with a herd.
That's what they said that they were going to do.
Right, and now that's what they're doing. And it's a pretty large herd, so it's, you know, I don't know how they're going to fend it off. And, you know, the other problem is you can't really tell which ones can think and which ones can't.
Yeah.
You know, it's the zombies are easy.
Might as well shoot them all.
Well, yeah, but you run out of bullets.
That's true.
Yeah.
Don't they have a factory now?
Yeah, Eugene's been making bullets for them, but even then, I mean,
there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of zombies.
You have to get like
a lot of bullets.
A shot for everyone.
Yeah,
you know, right. That.
So, but it's, you know, it's interesting. The Rick Negan relationship is very different. But it's been good. Nightwing.
Read that.
So I really like this relationship between Dick and Raptor.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, actually. Raptor's not who I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, he's not a he's and
he's
I don't
brutal,
know how much,
but he is not necessarily a bad guy.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm not sure. You know, he talks about he's playing the long game, but that doesn't necessarily mean that his ends and Dick's are the same. His long...
Okay,
yeah, I know.
It'll be okay.
It's 9 o'clock.
He took his pill.
I love when this rolls around.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Now he's got to go pee.
People are going to start thinking, you're almost like the Kevin Smith of this podcast sometimes. Just like, how much weed did Colin?
No, he doesn't creep me out.
That's true. He's walking off like he's in shame or something.
Yeah, you get out of here,
yeah.
Perv.
He's going to get some popcorn, too.
No, but I, you know, he may be trying to lure Dick into his confidence to see what he's really...
Now it's in our heads. I mean, we're not getting past that.
Nope. Okay, we'll just move on to a different book then.
No, you're good.
But their first mission is to go... There's another group called the Cobra Clan, and they have these ships with refugees, and they're supposed to stop them.
Which I always took they were kind of like DC's Hydra. Because they're always like... Whenever they need a terrorist group, they always use this Cobra Clan.
Yeah, except for this whole thing seems a lot like the same plot going on with the Ninth Circle.
Yeah.
And that's why... Come on, guys. Come on, something a little bit different. But that's okay. I'm enjoying it so far.
I like the scene with Babs. Where they set up
something,
and then she shows up, and she's like, oh, I thought this was...
So, that happened, like, very similar scene happened a while back, either in the Gail Simone Batgirl or the Kyle Higgins Nightwing. I can't remember which one.
I think it was Kyle Higgins Nightwing.
Yeah, right before he was about to leave town.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to, like, meet up, and he just, you know, went.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, you want these characters to, you know...
They need to get together, man.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to be, like, sappy about it, but you as a reader, you see the cast of these characters, you want them to kind of get together, so it's kind of, it bums you out whenever you see these things.
Office?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Jim and Pam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
What about Sam and Diane?
I never liked Diane.
Okay.
I do not like Shelley Long.
Yeah.
That's more my generation.
We get it.
So does that make Michael Scott Batman?
Yes. Michael Scott is Batman.
So he's going to sleep with Pam at some point?
Yeah. You don't see it, do you? But
don't bring that up. Did you watch that?
No.
That's, you know what, but that whole relationship, they've always kind of had some, like, relationship in the background. And Batman Beyond, that's exactly what it was.
Well, I know that's what he did in Batman Beyond.
But that's also different when they're older.
He's talking about
killing. You know, she's in the Killing Joke, she's essentially, I mean, she's 20, 21, something like that. She's still in college.
But even Batman Beyond, they set up to where it happened before they were that older, because that's the fall between him and Dick Grayson.
Yeah, it was around the time after, I think. Yeah, it was in between when he quit, I guess.
I don't know. It's just weird because... She did seem like a
you
daughter.
You don't see it because they make it always young.
He's like 15, 16 years older than her. He's best friends with her dad. It gets kind of creepy.
Yeah. Gross Batman.
Yep. Suicide Squad.
I read that.
I was not a fan.
It was very generic.
Yes. And then after seeing the movie, I was even less of a fan of it.
Yeah, it was the weird, like, the opening and the beginning, which you would have seen on Comics Preview Theater, of her conversation with Obama was a bit weird, and then it was just very much, here's the team, and this is how they all end up together.
Yeah, and in the end, it was kind of, you know, follow me!
And it was very much the movie, like, verse team. Like,
yeah, it is.
Like, Harley Quinn looked like the, you know, Margot Robbie Harley Quinn. Interesting Rick Flag. Yeah, just, it wasn't that exciting. I'm going to check out the next issue. But I don't know if I'll be on this very long.
Yeah. It's...
You didn't like the Suicide Squad Rebirth?
No.
I liked it.
Didn't love it. Just thought it was very generic.
It was. It was a Rebirth issue. That's kind of the point.
No.
No.
Even for the...
I disagree.
No.
It doesn't have to be generic.
Not generic, but setting up Flag, setting up the
team. It
has to
be a jumping on point,
yeah.
But that just, it felt, I don't know.
Just, yeah, not necessarily generic, but...
To me, it felt a lot like this book exists
strictly
because
the
movie
tie-in.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you there.
And I, you know, they didn't even try to separate it. Like, okay, we'll take out Killer Croc, we'll put in King Shark, or we'll put in, you know, someone else, which would have made more sense. All right, I'll save the Valiant book for Adam. Justice League. I'm not
loving
this.
It.
I'm not feeling
the
this.
Art's great.
But it was just so slow and so generic.
Yeah.
It, like, that's all I can say about it. It was just, like, it was forgettable.
It just feels like a cookie cutter, save the world, you know.
I'm sorry, what's
disaster.
Justice League.
I didn't read it yet.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the pacing of this book, like, his books. Like, also the JLA book had that weird pacing where it was just like...
What really, like, annoyed me, and this might be a minor thing, but... Shit's hitting the fan everywhere. They're all in, like, different areas trying to hold things together.
Yeah.
And Cyborg's like, no, get to
everybody
the watchtower now. I have to tell you something. Use the communicator.
Yeah,
like,
just tell us.
You're busy, man.
He could have just
channel.
Said,
you could
there's
just
something
say.
In the this part of the crust of the earth.
Yeah.
Because that's all he showed him.
Like, if I were a citizen in one of these cities.
Drop everything.
And just saw, like, Batman and Flash, and everyone just, like, leave the watchtower, like, F you guys.
Yeah. somebody
there's a tidal wave. Yeah. There's parasites. Yeah. There's zombie people.
Yeah, but Cyborg just 911 me. I gotta go.
Also, some dude yells booyah on the microphone. You're gone?
We got pizza. Booyah. Yeah.
Booyah on the microphone.
Like Green Lanterns, maybe this would be better being a much smaller
book. That was another problem with the book I had. I do not like them.
But that's...
Both of them, the Green Lanterns.
That I do have a problem with, though. The Justice League should not be small threats. When the whole League is together, that should be the major
threat. But you can establish them as a team, or you can establish character dynamics. It doesn't have to always be a global threat every single time.
Yes and no.
I mean, there could be...
Why are they together, then?
No, but they the Justice League doesn't constantly go from global threat to global threat. The DC Universe shouldn't always be in a state of...
Global threat.
Epic...
I get...
Emergency.
I get what you're saying.
Like, there could be, you know, situations where they are, you know, investigating something or minor things that have connections, like more of a, you know, detective kind of...
This is a pretty big thing that's happening in this. Like, I mean, the first... The New 52 book, it started, I guess, with Darkseid attacking.
Yeah.
But at least that seemed interesting.
That was better taste.
More interesting than this thing that we have no idea at all what it is, like space bugs. It's basically
what it's Starro. And now it's going to be the mole.
It seems
people.
Like that's what it is, but well, I'm really thrown by. I guess it's the same threat that we saw in the Rebirth book, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. But now they're all talking, like they're communicating through humans.
Yeah.
It seems well, like the thing that's coming down from the space is not the same thing as this
that's
controlling the humans.
Yeah,
because
they seemed like they were like saying, "Oh, now they're coming."
They're coming too soon, or they're back too soon, or something like that.
Yeah. So there's just a lot happening in it, and as I said, like I did not like the lanterns. They were just, especially for untrained lanterns. I mean, they're trying to tell you that Baz, I guess, is kind of training her. But do we really think Baz is that experienced? They made him disappear for how long, and we didn't know him in his training, you know?
But, I mean, he has been a lantern for that long, though.
Well, he got trained. He did get trained by Badge, so.
And he was pretty solid in the Lost Army and those books.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I never got to read those, so.
But yeah, I don't need another book telling me how.
Simon Baz alone.
I don't need another book telling me how mismatched they are and how she can't.
And that's what it did. I was going to bring that up when you brought it up with Green Lanterns because it is. They're doing it again in that book. So.
And it doesn't work because Simon Baz can't be like, I'm getting too old for this shit because he's young.
That's right.
Can't be the Murtaugh until you're close to retirement.
Until you're close to retirement.
But yeah, like I want this book to be fun and exciting and interesting, but it's just so far not really.
The problem is I want it to be Geoff Johns.
But
again.
It's gorgeous.
Art
is gorgeous.
No, yeah, the art's great, but
they must have had a lot different of an opinion of that JLA book than everybody else did to put him on like the main Justice League book.
I have a feeling, because he made it sound like he was not expecting to be on this book.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that someone else was supposed to be on it and something fell through and
they bailed.
In a you know, hurried moment, they're like, can you do this book?
Well, yeah, because he was already doing the JLA book.
Because otherwise, why would he come out and say that the things got delayed because he wasn't expecting to be writing a Rebirth issue?
I feel the same way I feel about, like, the Justice League as I do the Avengers, where the book has to be, like, really good. Like, it has to be almost the cornerstone of the entire thing. Like, the whole public, the line. But, yeah, it's not. It's not at all. It's like I said with the Rebirth book, it was very generic of a story. Very generic of a story. It was basically the Starro issue, and you were like, okay. And then the weird thing at the end, where they're all standing there, like, they're the super friends or whatever, and it's just...
We're just saying, like, wow.
Yeah, you were expecting them, you know.
Look, it's Wendy and Marvin.
It just, yeah, it needs something.
Eldorado sweeps in.
Well, hopefully they're looking at this and they're saying, like, which books in this next, you know, when we look at this again and reevaluate what needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do that. You can't leave this book like that.
How
how's Justice League doing for you? And I know it's only a couple weeks.
It not as well as it was, to be honest. Like, I ordered it as John's was selling, and I have a lot left.
Now, was this after the Rebirth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rebirth 1, I'm not sure about 2, but yeah. I have a lot left, a lot more than I expected to have left.
Well, aren't you in the business of selling comics?
I am. I have them on the shelf.
He can sell number one, but the book has to sell
it. has to sell it after that. Yeah. You know, you can't. Oh, well.
The book can't be number two.
It's a big number, too.
So, speaking of number twos.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Nice segue.
He's wanting you to go, Colin.
Colin already went.
Number two?
Yeah, remember he got up and...
Okay.
Some prunes earlier.
Superman, number four.
I liked it.
Yeah. I love this book. And I wasn't expecting to love it.
Why don't you marry it then, Adam?
I might. I might already have.
That's weird.
Yeah.
The important thing is, Crypto may still be alive.
That's very important. And,
that would cut the number of pet deaths by 50%.
That would.
Well, they bring the battle to Metropolis, which was a long ways from where they were. So,
which doesn't seem safe. Like, why not do it where no one else can get hurt? But you know, whatever.
Superman.
He's a D.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Didn't you see Man of Steel?
Yeah. Then he snapped a bunch of people's necks.
A bunch of people.
Lined
them up.
just smacked them. Heads all smacked together. Next breath. He's that good.
Going for the Guinness World Record.
Yeah. What a dark world record. We have this in the book for some reason.
Most necks snapped at once.
Yeah. It was like two last time. You only had to do three. So Superman, they took the fight to there with the Eradicator. They figured out that he's talking about how all these souls of Kryptonians were trapped inside of him, including Crypto. And he, one cool thing about this was Bibbo was in it. Bibbo was in this issue. So.
And also the guy he was arm wrestling, I was reading, it was somebody else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, a previous character. Yeah. Somebody who had a hand, like a mechanical hand.
Oh. I was going to say, most people have hands.
So, yeah, no, I forget where I was reading.
Captain Hook only has one, but most... No. Yeah,
was it Captain Hook? But they were in his bar.
A bunch of jerks this podcast.
We're all D's today.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was one. He arm wrestled him for a piece of moon rock, is what he thought it was, which it probably was. But inside of it, that's why Eradicator ended up there, because Eradicator had sensed the, which was odd because you think there would be a lot more kryptonite in the surrounding area than just the Metropolis and that rock.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like all the kryptonite ends up in Metropolis. Anyway.
Lex Luthor has it all in a vault there. You could have just...
No, it's on Superman Island in a vault.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That would be great if he went back to that. that's why he showed up there to gain that, because he was attracted to it because it was... Well, really, the souls, I guess, were attracted to it because it was their home. And they could sense it. And he continues fighting him. And I guess in this is when Jonathan decides to help him. And I didn't quite get how he kind of fused his cape to his back with his laser eyes, with his heat vision. And then he went to help fight him, and they kind of beat the crap out of him.
Yeah,
especially his face. Like, they both like punched it.
But I'm not a big Superman guy. So, but the Eradicator isn't human.
No.
So they can beat the hell out of him, and it's not a big deal.
Well, he regrew his face.
Yeah, that's like they both hit him, and like his jaw was all messed up. And
yes, but he has a plan now, and he puts the he puts Lois and Jonathan into like a submersible of some sort, and they are going to the moon to fight. I guess because Superman has a plan. So that's where we left off. But
fly
I
me to the
and that's what played in the comic. I've liked it. I've especially liked the art. Mm-hmm. I think this is the best Gleason art.
Yeah.
That I've seen. Just really good.
Is he doing the Super Sons?
I don't think
I don't think he is either. But, well, we haven't really seen art from it because we've seen the picture, like, on the reverb.
Did they announce the creator team for Super Sons
I don't believe they... I don't know. But they pushed that book back, too, so I don't know.
I don't think they've announced the creator team at all.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was going to be Tomasi on that.
I don't think so.
I thought he was going back...
Either Tomasi or Gleason makes sense.
Yeah. I thought it was almost going to go right into that.
I don't think so, Tim.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't remember from the live feed that they had.
When they said when they released the announcement for the pushback, I'm pretty sure they said a creative team still hasn't been announced.
Okay.
Well, you're jazzed for the book. Do you know
which book?
Super Sons.
Oh, I'm super jazzed for the book. Yeah, it got pushed to next year.
Yeah, do you know who the creative team is?
No, I don't think they've announced anything yet.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm still searching.
Well, maybe when you go to Baltimore in 2 weeks, they'll tell you.
Yeah, ask him. That's your question for him. What's going on with Super Sons?
Exactly.
He's shut down. He's fridge shopping now.
I haven't shut down. No. I'm just...
If you see him going like this,
this is absorbing me. Yeah.
But yeah, it's really, really good. 4001 AD War Mother, number one.
I quite like this.
I did too. It was a good just introduction into the character.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you this, I guess a village that kind of runs on scrap collecting. It's what I was taking it from. That's how they kind of they collect scrap, but then they also like
see, I
yes
it
and
they,
no.
They,
most
they
of it is
can't
grown.
Produce inorganics.
Yeah, that was it.
And
that's
so
right.
That's where they would get their inorganic material from.
They can produce technology. Like they can grow technology, mm-hmm. but things like you know circuits and basic components.
Yeah.
Some of those they couldn't grow
produce.
With this bio.
Like the best example was her
technology.
Gun. Her gun she created like right there through their technology.
Yeah.
But
yeah, some of the core fundamentals they couldn't produce. So
95%
of their technology they grow,
uh-huh.
but that 5% she has to scavenge for.
So they go. So she goes and looks for that, and they've now noticed the pieces of New Japan falling to Earth. So she goes.
And she's the only one that can leave this village because to try and keep the village you know pure and untainted, they only let this War Mother leave.
Yeah, I like it when she was called. To them, but she was called in such like a rude way, like to come and do what she had to do. There's also like a bunch of like I don't know if
there's rival,
rival like villages that are worried that if they don't get there now, then they'll lose it or something like that. So it's kind of a fight for all this stuff. But when she gets there, she finds that creepy doll first that she like shoots in the face, and then the gun communicates with her.
Does the gun communicate with her, or is the gun sentient? Because it seems
sentient.
Like a sentient.
It seemed like it, but it was just born, so it has no idea.
Yeah, it didn't have like previous memories.
Yeah,
but
it gets wiped after every.
But it remembered things. It seemed like it did, and like, well, why do I know this? Well, you know this because I know this. The conversation she has with it.
Well, it seems like it was almost
but the gun itself didn't have any memories like prior to its turning up. Like
she
was filling
knows.
It in,
okay,
with things, and then she didn't wipe it after this mission because the bond. I guess they whatever the gun was like. I don't know if I like killing for the village or whatever, but I'd like killing your enemies or something to that effect.
But the gun was kind of cool though, how it was. But she also finds this boy. Who was on the...
That boy was kind of creepy.
The boy was a D.
Yeah. I'm going to rule everything.
Yeah, the boy being from New Japan and being a...
He questioned what sector he was on, like, just like, you've crashed. Like, you're not on anything anymore.
And he was an engineered human
to
be perfect. So he immediately thought that he would be their rulers now, since he's, you know, on the Earth, and the people on the Earth are all barbarians. Yeah. He's better than them.
They're actually not that bad, like,
no,
the people
it's
on
all,
Earth.
It's all the propaganda
it's
from
ego,
Father.
Yeah,
yeah,
from Father. But,
although they are kind of jerks, too. They're like, nope, kids staying outside.
Yeah. That was just the plant person, the plant people,
yeah,
the Sylvian.
My question with this entire thing, though, is, like, what the future of the book Rye is. And
it doesn't
if,
have a future.
If this one is ending, like, I'm thinking. I don't know if maybe they're going to continue with this character on Earth. Or what they're going to do.
I could see,
there's a reason of them introducing.
I could see this character getting a book during like the next phase or whatever. Especially because I'm pretty sure Rye is done with 4001.
Yes.
So I could see if they want to continue in this future, you know, segment of the Valiant universe, using this character as that bridge to, you know, the year 4001.
Yeah.
Have her meet up
so
with the Lodge.
I can see
this. She's the new Geomancer.
I want to know more about the Geomancer that's there.
Well, they're not going to last very long. Galad's in charge.
That crazy, looks like a positron Geomancer.
Yeah. But no, it was. It was really good. I almost kind of want to see a future for this character.
Kind of? You only kind of want to see a future for the character?
I want to see a future.
You're not sure?
He's not committed.
I'm not committed.
He has commitment issues with his comic books.
Married the other one. You missed it because you were on that. Yeah.
Was it Jungle Fantasy?
I'm looking for a future.
So, the only thing I want to talk about, and I just didn't know if anybody else read, was the Young Animal Preview.
That was on my list. Look at that.
You did it, Colin. Yeah, but I talked about it.
Okay.
I
thought it was great.
Yeah.
That made me excited
for
those
books. I thought it was a really nice preview
for it.
I didn't read it. And all of that was... made me a lot of really interested into this. A lot of the art had kind of an Allred feel to it. Is Allred on it?
I don't think so.
Because they really did have that kind of simple kind of look, like a Darwin Cook.
Yeah, the Cave Allred. Carson, that's Mike Oeming.
One of them was like a Gotham City character, which I thought looked interesting. I forget something.
Yeah.
Forget the character's name.
There's one over there.
Yeah. But yeah, it was really good. I'll look for it later. But it was a good preview into all those. No words or anything into it to really read. Besides, they gave you little previews.
Well, the preview was
like
the old Who's Who entries, which I thought was really neat.
Yeah, yeah. They even made the logo kind of like it.
I think so.
Yeah, like it too. So I don't know. It looks kind of interesting. I like the idea of Doom Patrol coming back and what they're going to do with it.
I'm excited.
But yeah. It was a cool little thing to give out.
I think that's
going to
be the fifth week book that's coming out the last week of the month for the fifth week, since they're not going to have really any of the rebirths.
Yeah. I kind of like the companies that have been giving out these little freebies, like books. This one more of a preview, but Valiant gave out the bootleg A&A, which were really fun to read. And I wish they would do more things like that. I mean, just little short things, or if they even want to put them as filler into the book, like put them in the back of the books or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the effect of getting it like that is kind of fun. It's just basically, was it like a Xerox copy?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what the
so
ash cans were. Yeah.
So was the thing. Yeah. So it was cool. I just, something creative, something new to give out. So, but that is, that's all I read.
That's all you read?
What'd you read, Colin?
Nope, you guys covered everything I did. The only other thing I read was Invincible Iron Man 12.
What'd you think of that?
It was fine. It was the first time I'd read Riri Williams, and she's fine. Interesting character, fun girl.
Fine or
fine? Ooh. She's like a 15-year-old girl, Pat.
She was only 15?
Okay.
Too far.
So...
too far. We're done.
But no, interesting enough with her.
Dave and I are no longer affiliated with the podcast.
With her being set
17
to kind of take over the mantle of Iron Man. So, interesting. Okay.
Gross.
So, coming next week, well, we'll talk a little more about Suicide Squad if these two decide to go see it or not. And then still more Civil War books. It's funny. This is a bit, this is a 5 week month, and it's just, I'll point out when we get to the Civil War aspect. It kind of made me laugh. But we have all new Wolverine 11, which is a Civil War tie-in. Aquaman 5, Backstagers number 1, which is an interesting book. It's a Tinian book from Boom. And it's basically what are they called? The stagehands at a play. No, stagehands. They're back behind the stage. They found this door that goes to, like, another world.
Narnia.
So, yeah, kind of. It definitely felt that. So, that's from Boom.
Rock Narnia.
Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 1, Batman number 5, Black Hammer number 2. Briggsland number 1. This is a new one from Dark Horse. It's a Brian Wood one about basically like a militia type thing.
Shoot. They secede from from the country or something. You could put me down for that.
Okay. Captain America Sam Wilson 12 is a Civil War tie-in. And this is what I love. So we have Civil War Amazing Spider-Man number 3, Civil War Choosing Sides number 4, Civil War Gods of 4 number 3, Civil War X-Men number 3. Yeah, because we couldn't have spread those out a little bit amongst the 5 weeks. Because we got...
You're asking too much.
I think we got Civil War nothing this week.
Well, they don't want people to forget, so they do them all in 1 week.
Gotcha, gotcha. Oh, no, we got the Accused this week. You're right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was on your picks, which actually I posted.
Daredevil Punisher number 4. Demonic number 1, that's from Image. Dr. Fate 15. Fallen number 1. Now this is the second part of the Accused Fallen. Green Arrow number 5. Green Lanterns number 5. It's going to get better, Josh, I promise. Harley Quinn number 2. I know you're jumping on that one. I Hate Fairyland number 8 for Dave. Jackboot and Iron Heel. This is an IDW one. Justice League number 3. Claws number 7,
yay!
The grand finale.
Yay.
Krampus has to That's show up this time.
Lucas Stand number 3, Nightwing number 3, Power Man and Iron Fist 7 is also a Civil War tie-in. Scooby Apocalypse number 4, Spawn Kills Everyone, one shot.
Spawn Kills Everyone.
Yes.
Sounds like it should be a Deadpool book.
There you go. Spider Woman number 10 is a Civil War tie-in. Suicide Squad number 1.
Suicide Squad.
Super Effers Forever number 1. Pat's looking forward to that one.
I am.
Supergirl Rebirth number 1. Superman number 5. Tales from the Dark Side number 3. This is the Joe Hill book. Ultimates 10 is a Civil War tie-in. And then for Josh, Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 10.
Ooh.
Just for Josh.
Not just for Josh.
The other people that are reading it.
Yeah, I'm going to read it.
First.
So,
I understand you were first.
He was the first ever to read it.
No, but Josh is our Josh is the main valiant guy here at the store.
Robert Venditti sent me the script. He's like, please
first.
For me.
Well, there are some books you've been the first to read.
That's true.
So where can they find you? They can find me here at the store.
Lowe's,
and that's
Home
it.
Depot.
Yeah, Lowe's and Home Depot tomorrow morning. The Sears Outlet store. God, this is research I never wanted
Hopefully
to have to do.
Food.
Well, later after they bring it, I won't have the chilled food tomorrow.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics. Please, I love interacting with people. Instagram, I don't interact too much, but I tend to post.
You get some cool books.
I've been just kind of odd stuff. And it's kind of funny because I just go right from the Overstreet and they're like, well, wait, I thought this was the first appearance. I'm like, I'm just going by what Overstreet says.
Just right, yeah.
Trust me. I'm going to Price and it says, oh, first Harvey Bullock. That's neat.
Mine, I'm really wanting to know is how there are two, like, first Robin costumes for Jason Todd.
You read the book.
We'll find out.
Yeah. So,
and
Instagram is PGH Comics. Right now, all we have going on is the double points on all Valiant. This is leading towards the end, the big end of 4001 AD, which will be on August 31st.
Or September 3rd here in the store.
September 3rd is when we will be opening the time capsule, because I'll be out of town on the 31st, doing on business-related stuff.
Business. Is that going to be part of your, like, super awesome...
Luau.
10th anniversary.
No, that'll be the following weekend.
Because
the official anniversary is the 6th. which was the Tuesday after Labor Day. Right. So I figured I'll do something the weekend then after that.
So how?
Also, because on the 3rd, I'm literally going to be just getting back from Baltimore, so I don't want to at least have a little time to parse that all together.
So the day that you open the time capsule, is there going to be like a specific time?
I was thinking probably, I would say early afternoon, probably around noon. I'll definitely post something more as we get closer, but that's my idea so people don't have to wait all day. But I want to be here to open it to see what all's in there and also to dispense the goodies therein.
Do you have to have like a ceremonial robe or something?
No. I really
hadn't thought that through. Does Josh have to bring a battle axe?
Nobody has to bring this. Everybody has to bring their standee that they have and stand behind. No.
It's going to be like the Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Ooh, we could do that. I'll reach into Adam's heart or chest and pull out his heart.
You can't do that.
Roll around.
Is that a challenge?
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to do that. What?
You're not supposed to go for the organ meat.
Yeah. You'll get gout.
He already has it.
I might do a little bit, like just a back issue sale this weekend, only because I forgot the Steel City's con is going on. So I normally do it to
Forget?
Well, a lot of people come into town. If they don't find what they're looking for there, I invite them to come to the store. I'll probably do a back issue sale this weekend. I hadn't thought about that, but I'll double check. I'll make sure that the show, people have been talking about it, so that's my guesses. I didn't double check the dates.
I'm surprised you didn't ask for like bagels or cookies or anything during the Valiant opening.
No, Josh knows better. I did the bagel one time, and then he didn't even have any.
I had bagels.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah.
I'll think about it. So that's a little bit away. Bagels? I have time to think about it. Yeah, not tomorrow.
Yeah, you did it for the DCU.
Yeah, the live feed.
Live feed.
Oh, that's right. Not the DCU. It was the
or Rebirth.
Was it the Rebirth?
Yeah,
or was
Rebirth
it? Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Because it was a Morning thing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
What is that, Adam?
I guess it's a podcast of some sort.
Thank you. We will talk to you next week. Lots of fun stuff.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.